Welcome to this session on Azure Web Jobs. This is a fairly new feature in Azure. It's a part of websites that sort of includes now Azure Web Jobs. It's a feature of the websites. And whenever I talk to people about this feature, they get kind of excited, and they tend to look something like this afterwards, which is really cool because I like talking to stuff that inspires people. And since I don't have an audience in the room today, you're live online watching me, etc., I can't really interact with you so much as I'd like to. But I can tell you this much, is that this session is going to bring you something that will make your life probably easier, make your coding web jobs, make your day go faster, and make you more productive, which is an important thing in these days. So my name is Magnus Martinsson, and I'm a Microsoft Azure MVP. And if you, for any reason, want to get in touch with me, of course, you can just email me, as you see on the screen. And that would be just great. Just go ahead and ask me anything if you want to know anything about Azure. I'm your guy. I like to do these kinds of things in my spare time. We've done two of these, the Global Azure Boot Camps. And they were pretty huge. And there's a gang of people who sort of got involved with doing boot camps together. And we figured that we want to do each a local boot camp event in our local user group, wherever we lived, like in Stockholm or in Malmo or in Belgium. And we have some friends over there, et cetera. So we started setting up boot camps. And this is what happened. On the same day, on one day, we did a huge, huge number of boot camps all over the world, lots of community enthusiasts and thousands of attendees joined in on these huge boot camps. And we're going to do one more round of this, at least. We're going to do it again this spring. So keep your eyes peeled for this thing. We also did a huge global lab together where we deployed some Azure applications and let them run and crunch research data during the event, which was really cool. You should definitely get involved with this. It's a staggering amount of people out there who are focusing on Azure these days, and the numbers are just growing all of the time. Right, the web jobs. That's what we're here to talk about. So first of all, what are these? What are the web jobs? It is a background processing thing. You always have something you need to run in the background and basically do some computation, resize images, what have you. And Microsoft has come up with a way to do that really easily with something called the Azure Web Jobs. And they are deployed together with websites, with the Azure websites. So I'm going to start by showing you, of course, the basic demo, which is sort of going to be I'm going to use it and deploy it and move it along, you know, step by step while I talk. So it's going to be a really easy demo, and it's fun to watch this web job being built from the ground up, I think. All right, so the first thing we need to do, this thing here is a console app. It's a completely empty console app. It only has a program class and nothing else in there. And this can be turned into a web job very quickly. The first thing we need to do is go to the Package Manager console and install ourselves a little NuGet package. This one is Microsoft Azure Web Jobs, and it's a preview package, so you need to add -pre when you do it. And this will then go and install the relevant packages in this case. And there's quite a few of them, and I don't want that to look like daunting to you, because you only need to actually ever interact with the Web Jobs package. So it's not a problem that there are quite a few, because Web Jobs depend on Azure Storage. And Azure Storage is sort of underneath Web Jobs, and that brings in a couple of references more. But don't worry about that, because you're only going to be usually with the actual Web Jobs components. And a cool thing here is that anyone can write a console app, and that's sort of the idea behind Web Jobs. that you basically just write a console app and let that logic, that host that logic inside of a simple console app, and then you can just run this thing up in Azure. So in order to make any console app into a web job host, you have to have one of those, a host, a job host. So you create yourself a job host, and then you run this job host. Basically say run and block. That's all you need to do. The web job is now activated. This is now a web jobs host. It needs one more thing to be an actual web jobs host. And then, of course, it needs a web job. There's nothing in here but the except for the host right now, and it's an empty host. But you also need to configure storage for this guy. So by default, it uses two storage names, two connection strings that I have pre-populated in here. There's one called Azure Web Jobs Storage, and another one called Azure Web Jobs Dashboard. These two together, they can actually be the same storage account, but it doesn't really make sense since it doesn't cost you any more to have you can have the same amount of data in two storage accounts, and that would cost you the same. So you might as well separate your business data from your diagnostics data. So I will show you the dashboard and what that means later on, but for now, just know that you need to configure these two connection strings by default. And as you can see here, I have two storage accounts that I have created in Azure, and I will show you them. Up in the Azure portal. Just need to refresh that. I want to show you the storage accounts that I have created for Azure Conf. There they are. These are my storage accounts, one for the dashboard and one for my business data. And I also have access to these inside of Azure Management Studio here that I've set up. And I wanted to show you that these are two completely empty storage accounts. And we'll go back and look at what type of storage is being used for other web jobs as we move along. So I have configured the host with the connection strings to storage. And I have set up my job host. All I really need now is an actual web job method. And so I will write one. Naturally, it has to be hello world. What else? I will show you some more advanced business-like scenarios further down this presentation. But let's start with the hello world so that you sort of get the basics of what a web job is. So in order to make this method into our web jobs method, you need to add some attributes to some of the parameters to the method. So we'll do a QTrigger. And we'll call it, and we want that to trigger on a queue, and the queue name will be hello world. And then we'll get a message in. So we'll create ourselves soon a queue called hello world, and whenever somebody puts a message onto that queue, this web job method will trigger and be called by web jobs. Then we'll add another thing, we'll bind. Sorry, we'll bind to a blob. That's what I meant to say, and I typed it. So we'll need to have a way to do an output from our web job method, and that's called a binding in web jobs. So in this case, we'll bind to a blob, and we need to give it a container. Let's use hello, and a file name, world.txt. And that will be an out string out message. Right, so now this is a web job with an input parameter and an output parameter. So again, when somebody puts a message on this queue, the method will be called, and I can also bind to and write to a blob. All right, and let's do one more parameter because I want to at least do some logging in this guy. Uh, And here's a bit of magic for you. If you add a parameter to your web job called log, which is a text writer, it'll actually give you a way to do logging from your own code into the diagnostics, which I will show you later. Some people like this type of magic, like the default names of connection strings, for instance, and the fact that a parameter called log will automatically connect you to your log. Others feel that it's kind of creepy. And I can understand that. I can certainly understand that. But it is quite useful to be very productive, I think. So this thing has its place in my mind. So let's do like this. Let's say a string result. And let's say the message is, and then plus our message, right? And then we'll do log, write the result. And we'll also do out message equals the result. So now we're going to log the message into our logs, and then we're also going to write it out to a blob. So I'm going to put a little breakpoint here. Another thing which is cool about web jobs is that you can just run them locally like you run a normal console app, and it'll work fine. So we have We have our method ready to go. I'm going to hit F5 and launch this thing. And but first, I would like to set up this queue to have a message ready and waiting for us. It's not strictly necessary, but I still think it makes sense if I just create ourselves this queue here and then input the message into it. Of course, it's going to be hello Azure Conf web jobs rock. Naturally. All right, that's the message. So if we look into our queue in Azure Storage, you can see that there is an actual message in the queue waiting for to be executed, waiting to be fetched when this trigger launches up here. So I'll hit F5 on this to get this going. And the job host has now started. And as you can see, the method is being called. So the job host starts up, runs and comes to this place, and it says run and block, and then it triggers off the queue to see and peeks into the queue to see if there's a message. And when it finds a message there, it pulls it out and sends the message into this parameter here. And now I'll just fire this off and let it continue to do its thing. But again, it was just one message, right? So this is all we get for this demo. And I will show you later on with the diagnostics and so forth where you can view that diagnostics data. But if we go back to the queue, we can see that the message has been fetched. And now we have a blob container with a blob container called hello and a text file called world. And in the text file is our result. The message is hello Azure Conf. That's it, basically. Now I've just shown you that in like three lines of code, I can create a job host for a web job. And I can do powerful binding and not have to worry about interacting with Azure Storage and understanding how that works at all. I just have to understand that there is a thing called a queue, and I can get messages from it, and there is a blob, which is a file, and I can write stuff to it. That's really, really powerful and useful. And I'll show you later how to deploy this thing to Azure, and I'll also show you the diagnostics. Right, so Azure Web Jobs is, again, background processing in Azure websites. And since they are hosted in Azure websites, you get all the, I guess, constraints, but mostly benefits of being hosted together with Azure websites, meaning that Azure websites, for instance, has a feature called Always On. If you want your web job to be always running, make sure that it's always on, you can activate that feature. And the reason I put a little asterisk there is that the fact that in order to have that feature, you actually have to have a paid version of a website. You can't go with a free version. So the next demo, I'm going to go ahead and deploy our little web job to Azure. And this, again, is just a console app. And I've installed the latest version of the Azure tooling into Visual Studio, which means now that I can just right-click on this thing and say I would like to publish this thing now as an Azure web job in this menu option here. And I get this big dialog popping up, which allows me to pick a project, set a name for my web job, let's call it Hello World, and select how it should be run, which mode it should be run in Azure. As you can see, it can be run on a schedule, so I can run it ever so often. I can run a web job on demand only, so when I trigger this thing, then the web job should run. And I can run it continuously, which is the normal setting to have continuous web jobs when you are listening on a queue, for instance, a queue trigger. So I'll set this thing up to run continuously, and that downloads another small NuGet package. And there are some files here, which I will show you in a second, that get installed into my console app. Now I want to run on a website. So we're going to go and create ourselves a new website. See if Azure Web Jobs Rocks is available in Azure. It is. I'm going to use my demo account. I'm going to put this close to home in North Europe. And no database. We just need an empty website in Azure. So we're creating a hosting environment for this thing. Later on, I'm actually going to show you how you can co-deploy a website and a web job. But this is just going to be a slot where a website could be, but also only in this case, in this scenario, only a web job is going to be hosted there. So we are finished with downloading the credentials, etc. We'll just hit publish. And this thing will now publish up to Azure, to our website. The web job will go and publish and be deployed up in Azure. And it's done. The files I wanted to show you that get added to our web job is that when I said I wanted to publish my console app as a web job to Azure, it created an XML file here. It created a JSON file with the settings that I picked in the dialog. You can see that I have a continuous job and the name of the job, etc. Right, so it's now published up to Azure, and I can actually go and browse to it, but it won't show us anything because, again, this is an empty slot. What I will do is I will go to the new website inside of the portal, and then there it is. It says Azure Websites Rocks, and it's hosted in the free pricing tier right now, so a feature like Always On is not available for this web job right now, but I will show you how to activate that if you, for instance, would like to have that feature. Right. If I scroll down here, I can see that there is a web job in my site. And when I go to it, I can see that it's there, it's continuous, and it's running. So that's how easy it is to actually go and deploy a web job to Azure. If I wanted to, I could also go and add a web job manually as a zip file, which is kind of interesting, but that's how it goes. There are also other things that I can run. Not only a console app would run in Azure. You could actually write a script, a PowerShell script, a command script, or whatever. There are many ways you can. There are many coding languages that you can use to code a web job, and that's kind of powerful as well. That you could actually just run a PowerShell script in Azure, just host a script and just run it. It's really cool. But I'm going to stick with the good old C Sharp, and there's another really good reason for that, and the fact that from a PowerShell script, I can't really do logging and things like that. I can't really do this rich interaction with diagnostics that I'm able to do from C Sharp when I use the WebJobs SDK, and that's fine. If you only have a script that you would already have and that you would like to run, that's just go ahead and do it. But if you're creating brand new web jobs today, any coder can do it, as you just saw. I don't even have to know anything about Azure, right? So here I have my web job running in Azure, and we'll come back to that again later. But we're going to now take a step back in history or back in time and think about a little bit what did we have before web jobs, because I just showed you something really powerful and useful and awesome, at least in my mind. And before the web jobs existed as a feature of websites, what did we do? How did we run workloads in Azure? Well, there was this thing, and still is, called a cloud service. And a cloud service has roles. And when you do a background processing role, it's usually called a worker role. So the Microsoft Azure Cloud Service worker role is an option that you can use, if you want to host and run jobs in Azure. And I'm going to show you one of those to sort of set the stage for why Microsoft created yet another way to host your web, your the background processing in Azure. I'm going to go to the other instance of Visual Studio here, where I have a bunch of demos. I also have a cloud service in there. So this cloud service is one that I've named Old School. My Old School cloud service has a role, as I told you, which is a, in this case, is called Background Worker. It's this project sitting right here. So a cloud service basically is a way to package up applications and deploy them to Azure. And this Background Worker seems to have a bunch of configuration and settings and stuff here. And when I go into the actual Background Worker code, you can see that there's usually a class in those called a worker role. What it is anyway is that it always inherits from the role entry point. And I'm just going to try to briefly show you roughly what it takes to create a cloud service. There seems to be some sort of life cycle here, because there are methods called onStart and run and onStop. In the onStart, it seems like I'm setting up diagnostics and some tracing and configuration and that sort of thing. In the onStop, I'm basically saying I'm stopping. You can do shutdown procedures in there. And in the run method, I seems to be running something continuously until I hit to shut down and stop this thing again. The thing I seem to be running here is the actual work that I'd like to do. Seems to be a perpetually running, executing while loop, which does some actual work here somewhere in the, you know, buried way down. And if I drill into that real quick, you can see that it contains a bunch of communication with Azure storage, setting up queue clients and blob clients and stuff like that, which means that in order to code one of these, you actually have to understand a bunch of Azure storage and how Azure really works. seems like I'm getting messages off a queue, and I'm doing some splitting of some stuff here, and then I'm writing something to a blob. That's roughly what I'm doing. So literally, the work that I really wanted to do was something like that, right? Like this, maybe, some 5-6 lines of code. That's what I really wanted to do. Instead, I have all this other stuff in the cloud service, and a bunch of questions arise, in my mind at least. So, you know, how is this hosted? How do I deploy it? And what's this lifecycle thing? And how do I create the settings? And what do they mean? And can I use the app config and so forth? There are a bunch of questions that arise when you look at a web job or a cloud service. And there's lots and lots of code in there. And lots of Azure understanding that you actually have to have in order to actually just deploy a little method. That's all you wanted to ever do, right? Deploy a little method to Azure and let it run. And so this thing, the web job, is kind of a big container for just doing a simple thing. Now, with all that complication, Microsoft felt that it's a big threshold to climb over in order to get into deploying anything to Azure. And therefore, they created this project codenamed Simple Batch, which then later turned into web jobs. And I've been involved with web jobs since the beginning, actually, and sort of interacted with the team. And it's been a really nice journey to be on with them, because now that web jobs is getting out there in the wild and really proving us that it has a really nice business value and making your coding really much faster, then it's really exciting to sort of come to this point where you can do really cool things with web jobs. And I'm going to show you a couple of real business scenarios that really are, to me, still are pretty amazing. And so basically, web jobs is supposed to be as easy as just installing the NuGet package, almost. But you might think, well, wait a minute, Magnus. You're talking about running something on a separate thread, right? I mean, I can do that. That's easy. I can have a website and I can run something in the background on a separate thread. It's not a problem. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of code, does it, to actually do that? So I have a roll my own demo, and I'm not going to execute or anything, but it is a website, and this website has something being set up here in the startup of the application, and it starts up some type of general engine that I coded. So I sat down to actually try to code this myself, and I even if I added let's create a general engine and have some general work tasks and stuff like that, and I can implement them as easily as I implement these methods in a web job. You know, what type of code body are we talking about here? Not a lot, actually, as it turns out. This is quite easy to do. If I go to the... let's zoom out again. If I go to the implementation of this guy, all I needed to do really was a bit of work with some tasks and some actions, and you know, it's basically this is the main part of my engine. About 118 lines of code, and there are some supporting classes. And it's not a lot, like 200-300 lines of code, and I can really do this myself, right? So why do I need to run web jobs? Well, first of all, the web jobs are really super separated from your app web application. You just deploy them together. This stuff would be have your web jobs, if you will, your background processing code integrated into your application in a much more integrated fashion or close to each other. And also, there's a bunch of stuff you need to do still. You need to sort of make sure the background task is running. What if it breaks? And how do I do logging from this? And how do I make sure that nothing the web job does interferes with my website and so on and so forth? And also, there's another cool feature that I will show you. There's a bunch of diagnostics and stuff that you would have to actually then code yourself if you don't use a thing called web jobs, right? So I showed you the web jobs hosting real quick, that it's easy to just deploy a console app to Azure, and there you go, your web job is hosted and it's running. I also showed you that it's very much easier to interact with storage if you have a web job, because the Azure storage will give you, you know, a little bit of a headache that you have to interact with these client you know, classes and stuff like that. You need to understand what storage is about. And really what you only wanted to do was get a message off a queue or write a message to a blob. And using the Web Jobs SDK makes that a lot easier and quicker. Now any basic coder can, with basic coding skills, can code a web job. And there's also rich monitoring and diagnostic support in Azure Web Jobs, which is really cool. The diagnostics bit is of the Hello World application is something I'm going to show you right now. So we're going to go back to our dashboard. And in the dashboard, we have a link that goes over to the logs of our current running web job. If I hit that, I'm going to get a blank screen or a screen that says that I haven't properly configured my dashboard. And I need to do that. So this is in order to give the dashboard access to my diagnostic storage. I have to configure that in my website. So I go back to my site settings of the Azure website that I have, go into the connection strings, and enter this specific dashboard key, the same one that I use for my web job. And I will go and grab the connection string as well. Like that, and configure that into my website in order to get the dashboard running. I'll set it to a custom string, custom connection string, and I'll hit save. Once that's properly saved, I can go back to my dashboard and refresh it. And I should now see the diagnostics data for my web job. There we go. And this is the actual output of the process that the job host that runs in Azure. And if I go back to my queue and insert a new message into it, running in the cloud, and hit save. We're going to see a message in the queue real quick, but actually it was so fast that it just flashed by. And now if I refresh the output window here, you can see that there has been a new message in the queue, and I can show the new notifications, the new invocations of this. And I can go and specifically drill down into the invocation and see what the input was, what the output was, how long it took to run, and so on and so forth. And I also have this output window here. As you remember, if you recall, I also wrote to a log, and the log data is showing up here in the portal as well. So this is a pretty powerful set of diagnostics so far, but you can imagine this is going to increase over time. And if there were failures, I can see what the failures were exactly. I can see which web jobs did not execute and what those parameters were and so on and so forth. And that's something that you would not typically get unless you build it yourself, if you're just running your background process on a thread in your website. All right. So that's that. That's basically all of the big parts of the web jobs, if you will. The job host, you write your method, and you have an easy way to interact with storage. And then there's this dashboard thing. You can just deploy them to Azure, and then there's this nice diagnostics dashboard. Actually, I want to show you just real quick that the data is stored here in the dashboard storage account. And it's stored as a bunch of blobs down here that you can, if you want to, can drill into, and all the data is stored right there. So that's pretty cool, actually. Okay, so now we know pretty thoroughly what web jobs are, why they exist, how you use them. And I bet that you have started already thinking of a bunch of scenarios for your business where you can just use this instead of whatever it is that you're doing today, and just migrate over to these web jobs. There are a bunch of scenarios, and I'm actually going to show a couple of them. I told you I was going to show you something more business-worthy than Hello World. The first one is a website that I have running that sends an email confirmation whenever you do an order on a website, you get an order confirmation email sent to you. And it's quite common that people actually do this sending email thing from within the web page. And I've sort of just for the purposes of this demo, I've ripped out a part of a much larger demo that I had. We had a full day where we sort of made websites more modern and used things like background processes and so forth. So this is just a little bit of part of it, and it's just a list of orders. This was for a roadshow we did. So I removed everything which is not important to the demo. You can order different types of cakes and cupcakes and bread and stuff on this site. And if I click on one, I get a form, which I pre-entered my email. I get a form, and I have my email window here. This is my email account. And let's do a slow order. And order 2 lemon cakes. If I hit order, it takes a few seconds for this order to be processed. And then thank you for your order, right? This is kind of slow. It's too slow for a user. It feels like there's a lot of order processing going on in the background, which is, you know, probably a good thing. And if I go back to my email, I see now that I have actually received an email. Now, this is a part where you are actually sending an email from the order, from the code that submits the order, and that will put some load onto your website. So I have here this code in my next sample, send emails. If I go into the code of my controller, we'll see that I'm doing a post, and I'm sending out an order, or receiving an order which I'm supposed to be storing in the database. So what I'm doing, some basic validation, and then I have this ordering service where I submit my order to the database. And after I've done that, I also send out an email with this webmail class here. Now, these things is what's taking a bit of time, making this slow. So what I'm doing, what I'm going to show you is instead of doing this from basically synchronously from your web page and also putting load on your web server, I'll just remove that bit. And here's one I pre-made, right? An Azure ordering service, which instead just takes this thing and drops it into a queue. Takes the order and drops it into a queue. Of course, this order is submitted using Azure Storage, and I take the message and I serialize it into a string and I put it into the queue instead, right? And of course, I pair this up with a web job, and the ordering web job will process the order, use a queue trigger on the same queue, and I will be able to set a breakpoint in here, and I will show you how to run this a little bit faster. Of course, I'm going to run it on my local box, but that's okay. We'll launch the web app here. The experience in Azure is the same, and I'll also publish this to show you how to deploy a web job together with a website. So I'm running the same site locally. Go back and order some more lemon cakes, because I like those. Faster orders. And we'll order 7 of those. Now when I hit order, instead of storing in the database and sending out an email, I'm just going to pop the order into an Azure queue. That's done. So it's much, much faster, right? And now the customer has a better experience of the website. So the order has not fully been processed yet. It's only been placed in a queue. So if I go back to the storage I had, there's now a cake or a tart orders queue. And inside of that queue, there is a message. And as you can see, I chose to store the message as JSON. I serialized my order as JSON into the queue. And it's not been processed yet. But if I go and launch our web job, of course, we are immediately going to hit that breakpoint because there is an order waiting. And I'm going to show you a couple of cool things. First of all, let's go back and look at the signature of this thing again. As you can see, I'm now using async. This is a task. This thing returns a task, and it's using asynchronous programming model, and it even takes a cancellation token as a parameter, which is kind of a much better programming model when you're dealing with asynchronous stuff. So in this scenario, I'm able to do get the products from the database and create the order in the database. I'm able to do those things in parallel, and I also am able to do to wrap the email sending function that I have, service that I have, is not asynchronous, doesn't have an asynchronous API right now, but I can wrap it in a task and then wait for that task and make the whole process here asynchronous. So when I do that, of course, it runs through and stores my order in the database and sends out the email. So I'll go back to the... I have my faster orders right here, 7 lemon cakes. Cool. So in order to make a better user experience for your users, and also in order to move heavy processing away from your application, which slows it down and then just puts extra weight on your server, you can instead choose to use a queue and a background processing web job. So I think that's pretty cool. I also want to show you a second demo, which this is actual customer code. We were doing mostly a proof of concept, really. But I did sit down with a customer, and they needed to copy blobs around the world. They had releases of software that they uploaded to Azure, and then they also wanted to copy these releases over to different storage accounts so that they had storage in Europe, storage in the US, maybe in Asia, so that people could choose which site to download from. Very common thing to do. And the web job in this case is also asynchronous, and it triggers on an incoming queue. And when it's done, it's supposed to output the copy, the name of the copied blob onto a separate queue. I'm also using the log again and a cancellation token. So basically what I'm doing in here is something really easy. I'm getting my blob references for Azure Storage, and I'm getting access to the blob that I want to copy from, so I get a URI that I'm able to access. And then I say, I use the Azure Storage method or feature called start copy from blob, and also async, by the way. Start copy from blob means that I'm telling storage to copy a blob from a URL and store it in the destination. So from blob is from URI is copied into to blob, and then I basically wait around until it's done. While the status of this copy job is not successful, I just keep waiting. It's pending until it's successful. And the cool thing about this is that this blob data, the file, is not copied from Azure Storage into my web job, into memory, and then back out into Azure Storage. Because of this Azure Storage feature, I can copy via, just exclude the web job from that copying process and just let the storage accounts just talk to each other instead. It's much faster and much, much simpler. When I'd done this demo or this sort of a proof of concept with my customer, and I showed him that it worked, he was just like almost blown away, thinking like, this just looks too easy. It cannot be this easy and simple to do and still perform this important function. It's just kind of crazy. So there you go. Some real scenarios, real code, not just hello world. All right. If you want to look up a bunch of resources on this, there's a guy called Mike Stahl on the web jobs team, and he's really into, of course, building web jobs, and he's very productive in blogging about web jobs features. Just go and look that up, the bit.ly link here, and you can see all about read all about the features of web jobs. I'm just going to do a little bit of a feature bonanza here at the end of this talk to sort of show off a bunch of more features that are in the Azure Web Jobs. Here I have, for instance, the queue count and the polling interval of the queues. You're able to actually go into setting that up before you start your job host and sort of tweak a little bit to your needs the settings of the queue interaction when you have a queue trigger. And that's very useful because you also want to use this. You also want to take advantage of being able to handle a thing was called the poison message. How many times should you retry processing the same queue message if there is something wrong with the message? Right, a message that breaks your code is referred to commonly referred to as a poison message. And here's an example of that, where we have an incoming queue, and of course this code is broken because we will always throw an exception on this code. So after, I think we set three times, right? And I think the default might be five or something. After X number of tries, which will all fail, the message will be deferred onto a separate queue called the name of the original queue dash poison. And in this poison queue, you can then go and see which messages were not the data, which messages were not being processed properly. Let's say that these are actual orders coming into your business. You might not want to lose them. You might not want your web job to continuously crash on you. So poison message handling is very important, and that's built into web jobs as well. I showed you async await already, so I don't have to show you that again, but it's an important pattern to get into when you code web jobs. I think you should always code async code if you can. And bindings. I bound to a blob before, and I wrote the name of the blob, right? And that's not extremely useful because you probably want to have more than one blob coming in and more than one blob coming out. So you could also use these squirrely braces here and pick out things like name and extension of a file name, for instance. And you can have properties with the same values, name and extension, and have the file name and the file extension injected into your web job code. And you can use the same name when you output in a different direction. And here we have the DQ count that I talked to you about. If you want to handle that yourself, there's a you can use the property called DQ count, or the method parameter, I mean, the method parameter called DQ count to get the number of times the message has been attempted to be processed, injected into your code. And there's one thing that I ran past pretty quickly, and it was the fact that I have an order object as a parameter here in my queue trigger, which is kind of strange. I had that in my, let's see, web jobs demos, in my send emails code, I believe. Yes. So I have an order object here, and the order object is one of my own domain objects, which is kind of strange. How can the order object be the input parameter for a trigger? The message we have is a string in a queue, right? So, and I showed you also that the message was serialized as JSON, if you recall. When it was in Azure, the message was in JSON. Built into web jobs is the feature that if the parameter is a type, web jobs will try to deserialize into that type, which is kind of handy as well, because that's something you always do. You package up a few parameters or a few facts into some sort of a string, and then you need to unpack that as well. But that's handled for you automatically by web jobs, which is also very, very cool. And here are some binding options that you have. These three methods will do exactly the same. They will copy a blob and output a blob. And as you can see, you can either work with streams as the input and output, or you could work with a text reader and a text writer if your blob or your file contains text. Or you could just treat the blobs as strings, whichever suits your need. It's all supported by web jobs. If you don't have one of the supported types, maybe your blob contains information that is supposed to be a specific type of image in this scenario, you could also go and implement the iCloud blob stream binder interface and get yourself an implementation that can read the stream from an async and read the stream asynchronously and return an instance of an object, in this case a web image instance. Also, you can create a stream output the web image into a stream by, in this case, turning it into bytes and writing it onto the output stream. So if you have a custom need, you can just go and implement your own custom blob binder. It's really cool. And then there's a no automatic trigger attribute that you can use. If you don't want a queue to trigger automatically, you want to say when it's time to trigger the web job, you can use that. And also, I haven't talked much about using Azure tables. I've talked about using queues, I've talked about using blobs, and I'm not going to demo today how you can actually also interact with Azure table storage, but that's completely possible. There's a table attribute for that, and you can output data into an Azure table from web jobs. And also, which is quite a recent addition, you can, instead of using Azure queues, you can use the Service Bus. So there's also Service Bus support with Service Bus triggers and Service Bus bindings, so that you can send messages to the Service Bus and receive messages and trigger off messages on the Service Bus if you don't want to use Azure queues. So just to reiterate before I wrap up, web jobs is very easily and simply hosted in Azure, in Azure websites. It's not a big cloud service. It's just a simple way to host a few lines of code if that's all you need to do. The SDK makes it a lot easier to interact with Azure Storage and with the Service Bus, rather than you have to understand as a coder how you actually work with Azure Storage. There's no such pre-knowledge necessary in this scenario. And there's also a bunch of rich monitoring and diagnostics that you can take advantage of when you use and run a web job, so that you can sort of monitor what's happening and not lose important orders, for instance, coming into your business. So I want to thank you guys for listening to this session. I hope it was valuable to you, and I hope that you will go immediately and write very many very nice web jobs and host them in Azure. Thank you very much for listening.